Join me, please, in directing your hearts and minds to the Word of God before us today in Romans 14, reading verses 7 through 9. For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. In my years as a pastor and then a professor, I've acquired a number of theological, Bible-based books which I use to do my work. If I get such a new book, new to my collection, I label it as mine in a rather simple way. I take old mailing labels with my name printed on it and stick it to the inside of the front cover. After all, once you own something, it's yours to keep, and you can let people know by labeling your stuff if you so choose to do that. On a much higher level, as Romans 14 makes clear, Jesus has labeled you and me as his very own because he paid the ultimate price of ownership. Not a monetary transaction at a bookstore, not a digital deal done on eBay, but rather he died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. Now, for you personally, that means that Jesus is Lord of you. Let's take some time to think about and consider carefully what that means. Jesus is Lord of you. Ideally, you participate in a relationship in which you let him be in charge all the time. It's something your faith will want to embrace. You don't fight him for control. There is no power struggle here. If there were, and sometimes there is, that would be your flesh at work. Instead, you let the Lord in his word have the last word. And that word is the only authority, the only standard to determine your convictions. What you accept as the absolute truth and what you reject as false. Likewise, you let the Lord in his word be in charge of your values in life, your priorities and your plans, your habits, your attitudes and behavior toward anything, everything, everyone, including people in authority, like the dorm parents, or the people with you in this gym, your fellow Christians of all ages. With Jesus in charge, the relationship will never become oppressive. He's not going to be the dictator forcing you to do his bidding. Certainly he does control our actions, telling us in the Bible what to think, what to say, what to do, what to avoid. In that word, he lays out in very specific, unyielding terms a moral, God-pleasing lifestyle for us, which in many ways runs counter against the course of this world. It even runs against the course of our sinful nature, a big reason why we keep sinning against him every day. But in that situation, Jesus doesn't act like a typical ruler or an outraged employer. He does not fire us because of our disobedience, though we would deserve that outcome. He does not fine you or imprison you for crimes against him, the treason of our sin. Although, again, that would be a deserved outcome. No, it's in a winsome way. A winsome way that Jesus reestablishes his lordship by reaching out in mercy, calling us to repent, leading you and me to confess our sins. And then comes his pronouncement of that decisive decree of God's forgiveness, which he purchased with his own blood. I hope you'll agree that Jesus rises to the top as the greatest Lord you could ever hope to have. He's more than the Lord of your conduct in this life. He is also Lord of your struggles, your problems, as well as your blessings. He is Lord of your health and also your wealth. Therefore, we can expect him to act accordingly, to use his controlling power, to keep all of his promises. We expect that by faith, based on his steadfast commitment. The truth of what we hear in Romans 8, "He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" It all goes back to the cross of Christ. The sacrifice Jesus made for us is all the proof we need that he will keep you and me, his people, in good condition. He invested too much in us not to do that. He invested too much in us not to provide food, clothing, shelter, safety, healing, if that's his will, as well as family, friends, comfort, strength, the list goes on, whatever we truly need. We can also expect him to follow through to the pinnacle of it all and be the Lord who controls our destiny forever. He knows to the exact moment and second how long it will be, how many years and days we serve him in this life, in this world, how long it will be when we get to go to a better location in his presence forever. Paul has written, as the spokesman of God, "If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord." Either way, it's all good. Win-win, as they say. We can't lose. Whatever we face in life or in death, Jesus has it covered. Everything controlled by his power. Everything governed by his grace. And so we pray. Keep us, Lord, always as your own, by the power of the Spirit working through your word in our hearts. Amen. Let's close with hymn stanzas that echo the prayer in the text. Hymn 338, stanzas 3, 4, and 5. 3, 4, and 5 of hymn 338.